الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him abundantly the way He deserves it. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send His peace and His blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad, his companions, and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the Day of Judgment. The Shaykh, may Allah preserve him, began his khutbah by advising the Muslims to have taqwa of Allah. And taqwa is a shield, a protection that one of us acquires in his life. So we will do what Allah commanded, and we will stay from what He forbade. And it is a protection from the fire. Taqwa is to protect ourselves from the fire by doing the commandments and staying away from the prohibitions. He said, and be mindful of Allah and look into the affairs of His religion, this deen of Islam, and worship Allah upon knowledge and insight, because there's no more room for ignorance or changes in the rulings of this deen. Brothers in Islam, those who observe the active worship of Hajj, the pilgrimage to Mecca, throughout the ages, they will find wonders and amazing things. They will find a connection between the prophets and the messengers, although there has been a big gap in time. And he will see how this Hajj, which is approaching right now, is an example for this bond that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established among His prophets and His messengers. How did Hajj begin? How did it begin? When was it obligatory? We will take a trip throughout the ages so we could see that, beginning with Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, when he escaped from the idol worshippers, which included his father and his people in Iraq. And he migrated to Palestine with his wife Sarah and his nephew Lut, as you may know, as Allah says in the Quran, فَآمَنَ لَهُ لُوتٌ. So Lut believed in Ibrahim and his da'wah, and he said, verily I will migrate to my Lord, He is the one who is full of might, the all wise. And Ibrahim resided in Palestine. Then he migrated to Egypt, and he stayed there whatever Allah Azza wa Jal decreed for him to stay. And this was the time when his wife Sarah was exposed to the fitna of the ruler of Egypt, who wanted her for himself. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected her and her honor and dignity from that, and in return He gave her as a gift Hajar, as a maid, as a servant. Hajar was given as a servant to Sarah. Then this is how we go into the depth of the beginning of the acts of worship of Hajj. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam went once again back to Palestine, and his wife Sarah was barren, meaning she could not have children, she could not conceive. And because of that, she indicated to her husband Ibrahim to marry Hajar, her mate, in order for him to have children. And he did, and he was blessed with Ismail, as we know it in Arabic, Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. Then Allah decreed that also Sarah became pregnant. So she gave the gift before she, when she was barren, and after Ibrahim alayhi salam was blessed with Ismail, then Allah decreed that Sarah also became pregnant, and she brought Ishaq, Isaac alayhi salatu wasalam. And naturally, women are jealous. If anyone here has two wives, you understand what I'm saying. Women are jealous of one another, and eventually Sarah became jealous of Hajar, although initially she gave her as a gift to Ibrahim to marry her, but then she became jealous of her, and she was no longer able to even look at her. Because of that, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam migrated with his wife Hajar and his son Ismail to Mecca. And there was no vegetation,
There was no water in Mecca. There was no one living there. It was a barren land. No one resided there whatsoever. And Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam left his wife Hajar and his son, and he went back to Palestine again. Before he left, his wife Hajar held on to him, and she said to him, "How are you leaving us in this valley that does not have any food? It does not have any water." And he alayhi salatu wasalam told her, "I leave you to Allah." So she said, "Did Allah command you to do that?" He said, "Na'am, yes." She said, "Idhan la yudayyuna." Then Allah Azza wa Jal will not abandon us. And this is a dars in aqidah, dars in tawheed, understanding the names and attributes of Allah. That if you put your trust in Allah, only Allah, then Allah is the one who protects, Allah is the one who guides, Allah is the one who blesses, not the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because she put her trust in Allah, not in the creation. Then as Ibrahim was walking away, he made this particular dua that you recite in the Quran in Surah Ibrahim. "My Lord, our Lord, I have cause to inhabit among my progeny, among my children, in a valley that does not have any vegetation, near your sacred house, Al-Kaaba. My Lord, in order for them to establish the Salah. So make hearts of men become full of love towards them, and sustain them with fruits so they may be thankful to you." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to the supplication of his Khalil, his beloved friend Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Then Hajar and Ismail lived in that place for very troublesome moments. He had left with her some food and drink which started to run out, and she thought she was on the verge of destruction, her and her son. And if it wasn't for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His virtues, that He saved them, and Allah does not waste the covenants, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always there for those who have hope in Him. And in these difficult moments, the story of how the Kaaba was constructed begins. And the story of how the people do sa'i, which is go between As-Safa and Marwa. Also every time they perform Hajj or Umrah, and every time they do tawaf, circumambulation around the Kaaba. This is also how the story of Zamzam began. That fresh water that is actually a source of cure and healing by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here is the story in full, my dear brothers, as it is narrated in Sahih Bukhari. May Allah have mercy on him. And it is a story that the Shaykh mentioned is worth understanding, worth paying attention to, worth looking into the details of it, so we can relate this to our lives today, in order for our acts of worship not to become just habits. When we go do tawaf, or we do sa'i, we don't just want to be doing it because our forefathers were doing it. We want to do it while understanding the wisdom behind it, so we could feel in our hearts the act of worship that we are performing, not merely physical activities, as it is the case with many who do not know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in the proper way. So here's how the story began. It was narrated by Sa'id ibn Jubayr, may Allah have mercy on him, that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, said that the Prophet Ibrahim brought his wife while she was still nursing, yani breastfeeding Ismail, and he put her on a small hill near the Zamzam and the top of the masjid. And on that day there was no one residing in Mecca. There was no one residing in Mecca. And then he started to leave. Then she chased after him and she said, "How do you leave us in this place?" Again, he's repeating the story now, but from Sahih Bukhari. She said, "Did Allah command you to do this?" He said, "Allah commanded me to do this." He said, "So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not abandon us." Then Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam made the particular dua that we quoted earlier. Then she started to eat and drink. He had left with her some food in a container and some water. And she continued to consume them until she ran out. Then Ismail started to struggle for his life, and she was looking at him on the verge of death. and she was not able, as a mother, passionate towards her son, she was unable to continue to watch her son dying. So she started to go, to move away from him. And the first thing that came across her sight was the mountain of Safa. And she climbed up on the mountain of Safa, looking to see if she will find anyone. She did not find anyone. So she went back down. And when she went back down, at some point in the valley, she lifted up her garment and started running. This is why you run right now between the two green flags. She started running until she made it to the mountain of Marwa. Again, she climbed up onto the mountain of Marwa, looking for anyone who could provide them with help, whether food or drink or the likes. And then at one point, and she went 7 times. Ibn Abbas said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is why the people now do sa'i 7 times between As-Safa wal Marwa. At one point, when she was on the Marwa, she heard a sound. So she said to herself, she became quiet in order to hear. Then she heard the sound again. And she said, if you have any assistance, then assist me. And appeared in front of her an angel. Appeared in front of her an angel. And that angel had, with his wing, had moved away some of the earth. And the Zamzam water started to gush out from the earth. So Hajar, may Allah have mercy on her, became excited when she saw the water. So she's trying to contain the water and keep it for her. The Prophet ﷺ said, may Allah have mercy on the mother of Ismail. Had she left the Zamzam alone, it would have become a river right now. But because she was trying to contain it, it remained in the size that it is today. Still it flows with water ever until the Day of Judgment, bi-idhnillah azza wa jal. So she drank some and she gave some to her son. And then the angel told her, do not be afraid. You will not be wasted. Verily, right here, this young man will build the house for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala along with his father. And Allah will not waste those who are among his people. And the house, the Kaaba, was a little bit above on a hill, on the ground. And this was the case until a group of people came to Mecca. And they found a bird flying around the place of the water. They said, this bird is only there because of the presence of water where he's flying. This is before they seen the place. And then they sent some people there. They confirmed the presence of water. Then they came and went to Hajar radiallahu anha, and may Allah have mercy on her. And they told her that we wish to share this location with you. Do you allow us to do so? She said, yes, but you have no right of this water. This water is mine, and this is how it was back in the day. They didn't have any, you know, contract that this is under my name. You have the area, this is yours. So she said, this water does not belong to you. And she allowed them to live there. And they resided there with her. Until Ismail became older, and he became a handsome, strong, knowledgeable man, and they taught them the language of Arabic. These were the original Arabs. They taught him the language of Arabic. So they made him marry one of their women. They gave him a marriage to one of their daughters. And then the mother of Ismail died. And Ibrahim came after Ismail had gotten married. And he came asking for him. He did not find him. So he knocked on the door and he told the woman, where's your husband? She said, he's out and he's not looking after us. He said, how is your life? She said, our life is difficult. It's rough. Not enough money, not enough food. She started complaining. He said, when your husband comes back, greet him with the salam. And tell him to change the doorstep of his house. Greet him with the salam and tell him to change the doorstep of his house. So when Ismail came back, he sensed that something had happened. He said, did anyone come to you? She said, yes, an old man came. He asked me about you. I said that you were out. He asked me about the condition of our lives. I told him. And he said, and he gives you the salam. And he tells you, change the doorstep of your house. He said, this was my father and he is telling me to divorce you. Go to your parents. And he divorced her. That's what is intended by the doorstep of the house, the wife. So listen, look at the obedience to the father. He told them to divorce her halatul. He said, you are divorced, go to your parents' house. And he divorced her, he married another woman from among these people. Then Ibrahim came to him again, alayhi salatu wasalam. And he asked about Ibrahim, Ismail, his wife, his new wife. Told him, Ismail is not out, he went to search for some food for us. He said, how is your life? She said, Alhamdulillah, we are living in goodness, we are blessed, we are okay. And she praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He told her, give salam, give Ismail the salam when he comes home, and tell him to keep his doorstep, the doorstep of his house, keep it. So when he came back, the same conversation went on between Ismail and his wife, and he told her, this was my father, and he told me to keep you as my wife. And then they lived for a particular point in time until Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam finally came back. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam finally came back, and he did, when he seen his son Ismail, what a father would do with his son after not seeing him for a long time, and what the son would do his father from hugging him and kissing him and what have you. And Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam told them, my Lord has commanded me with a command, would you assist me? He says, do whatever Allah commands you, and yes, my father, I will assist you. With that, he told him that Allah had commanded him to build the Kaaba. To build the Kaaba. And they started to raise the construction and the pillars of the Kaaba. And Ibrahim will bring the stone, Ismail will bring the stone, and Ibrahim ﷺ will put it together as a brick in order to build the Kaaba. And while they were doing that, he brought the last stone which Ibrahim used to stand on when the construction became higher, while both of them were saying, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Our Lord, accept from us, verily you are the all-hearing, the all-knowing. The summary of this particular story is for us to understand that this deen of Islam that we have accepted by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not an innovation, and it is rooted all the way back to Adam. And you will find that there is something in our deen that is related to every one of the prophets and the messengers, because they all came with the same consistent message. And Allah has blessed me and you, my brothers, to be among the Muslims. Another lesson from this story is that we should not take these stories as merely an entertainment. Rather, we should look for the wisdom and the benefits behind them and see how we can relate with our lives. This deen of ours, this salah that we performed, the siyam that we performed, the hajj, the umrah, the acts of worship, they're not just habits that we find our forefathers doing, so we follow their footsteps. We should be mindful of them. We should understand the rulings behind them. We should have our hearts alive. The scholars say that the acts of worship of those who are heedless about Allah are habits. A person will come do the salah, not because he really wants to pray to Allah, but because everybody prays. He's been praying all his life. He also comes to the masjid with everybody else. He gives takbirat al-ihram, and his mind travels. He goes away to the marketplace, to the corniche, to his family back home. He has no idea what he's saying in the Fatiha, no idea what he's reciting in the surah, no idea what Subhana Rabbi al-Azim means, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la means, nothing, none of that. Just a movie playing in the mind until he says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, and he leaves from the door. This has become the case of many of the Muslims because we do not look for the essence of the stories, the acts of worship, the relationship between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This particular edition is from myself. This is how the Shaykh, may Allah preserve him and reward him, concluded his khutbah. And this is a lesson for us to learn. Next time you go and do a tawaf, or you go and sa'i, doing sa'i between Safa and Marwa, remember Hajar. Remember the effort she had to go through, the struggle she had to go through, how she depended on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how Allah did not deprive her of His mercy. Water gushed out from the ground. So if you have trouble, don't depend on the creation of Allah. Depend on Allah. And if Allah Azza wa Jal wills with His might, He will relieve you from any difficulties that you have. I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving me the opportunity to share this information with you. And I ask Him to send His peace and His blessings upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa jazakum Allahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.